Call this meeting the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners to order. This is Wednesday, July 11th. We are in the Lincoln City City Hall, and this is the Board of Commissioners meeting immediately following a joint work session with the City of Lincoln City Council. First item on our agenda is to establish a quorum. We have all three commissioners present constituting a quorum. Next item would be the adoption of the consent calendar. These are items of a routine nature, or items that have come before us before. I'll entertain a motion or hear additions or corrections.
I'll make motion to adopt the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Next item is a decision item on the amendment of Lincoln County Land Trust MOU and Council Belmont. There you are.
Sorry, over here.
Yes.
So this particular agreement, it was entered into by the City of Lincoln City, the City of Newport, Lincoln County, and the Land Trust, Proud Ground. And this is to provide housing. It's a number of projects that we're doing throughout the county, but mostly in Lincoln City and in Newport. And Commissioner Hall can give you any details if you want to know about the specifics of that. But it came up to a time in which the agreement would be expiring on December 31st of 2018. And the parties needed to discuss how to extend that particular agreement. And so, first of all, the City of Newport had a discussion, and they actually were amenable to extending the agreement for a year's period of time to get the projects done that were contemplated here. But they wanted to see, have a touchstone. They wanted to actually see a project being completed within a six-month period to extend it on for the full 12 months. Lincoln City, however, when they had their discussion here, wanted to give a full 12-month extension to the agreement and did so. So we had a little bit of a difference between what Newport was doing and what Lincoln City was doing. And of course, the county is partnering with both Lincoln City for the Lincoln City projects and Newport for the Newport projects. So we were more along the lines of going whatever directions that the respective cities wanted to go. So we finally came to that particular understanding between the parties, and this is the extension amendment, which is before you today. It's in your packet. And this would authorize the city managers in Lincoln City and in Newport, and in my case, you'd be authorizing me to sign an extension that basically mirrors what was done in each of those cities. And so it would be extended for a 12-month period in Lincoln City and 6 months plus 6 months in Newport.
Questions, Councilor? Commissioners? Pulled over from the last meeting. No questions? Correct me, but I believe there are projects in both Lincoln City and Newport that are underway now. So again, these extensions allow for those projects to be completed or there to be some evaluation of the effectiveness results of the projects.
That's my understanding.
Would you like an update?
Yes, I think Commissioner Hall has the
sure. You know, I am still serving as chair of the Lincoln Community Land Trust, small correction to the menu it should be, which is now working with and in the process of integrating into Proud Ground. But basically what we're talking about here is, you know, the two cities plus the county have provided operational support to the land trust over the past several years. Because with the Proud Ground contract, we did not have to use all that money for operations. All three entities, we previously agreed to convert part of that money into first-time home buyer down payment grants. And this is essentially, you know, putting in no more operational money, but to convert that existing pot of money, which already was done, to payment grants. And that will support two more homes in Lincoln City, three homes in Newport. There are buyers in the pipeline, but as you know, getting somebody qualified, especially first-time buyer, can be a lengthy and complicated process. And all this does is extend the clock on that. But I think that's moving along well. And last month, we also got an additional $515,000 grant through the Governor's Workforce Housing Initiative, which is going to get even more home buyer opportunities into the pipeline. So after being stalled out for years, things are really moving and moving quickly with the land trust, but this is just opening the window a little further in terms of time requirements.
Thank you. Commissioner Thompson, any questions?
So,
So, Commissioners, that what we need is a motion to authorize me to sign the extension on your behalf.
I'll make a motion to authorize.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Oh, before we vote, can I ask again, Mr. Belmont, I have acknowledged that I am chair of the land trust, but this does not qualify as any kind of conflict of interest because I have no direct or indirect fiduciary benefit from my work with the organization.
That's not going to benefit directly or indirectly.
Right. Okay, just wanted to get that on record just in case. Okay.
It's a good point. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries. All right, we're now down to a couple of discussion items. One is a contract award to Road and Driveway for the overlay of 2.18 miles of rural roads with asphalt concrete. Isn't that a oxymoron, asphalt concrete? Go ahead.
Well, that's a construction term. That's an engineering thing.
No wonder.
But you're right. It's asphalt. Roy Kenyon, Lincoln County Public Works Director. Little brief overview to kind of let you know where we're at. We, Lincoln County, entered into agreement with the U.S. Forest Service to participate in a sediment reduction project, meaning we're going to pave some gravel road that's immediately next to Fall Creek off of Highway 34. The Research Hatchery is up there about 2 miles up. It's a heavily used logging road. And during the winter months, when we have heavy rain and heavy use, we're having sediment issues, sediment running into the stream. And so the Forest Service has basically ponied up $250,000 to pay for the project. And Lincoln County is the one that's administering the contract. And Lincoln County Road Department actually did all the prep work prior to the construction. We opened bids on June 20th. We only had one bidder, and I don't know if we expected to have more, but I don't know if it was the location of the project that kind of kept people away, because we're 28 miles up the Alsea River from Walport. I expected that we would maybe get a bid on Knife River because they'd be coming in from the other direction. But for some reason, they did not want to bid on this project. The engineer's estimate on this project was $315,000. And come to find out, that was quite high. The reason that it was so high was because we didn't really have any good numbers to work with. It's been probably 20 plus years since Lincoln County has done any major paving that far up Highway 34. So we didn't have any really good numbers to work with. There was a project that was done at Little Switzerland, less tonnage, but we kind of tried to use that price per ton to kind of gauge where we thought this would be. Fortunately, the engineer's estimate was way off. The bid came in at $224,952. So we're actually at this point well below the $250,000 that the Forest Service was going to put in towards the project. Now, on these paving projects, there is always a chance that there would be a slight overrun on tonnage. The road department had agreed to pick up the difference. I'm hoping that in this case, if there is an overrun, it's still underneath that $250,000. But still, I mean, if we have to throw in another 10 or 20 to make up the difference, we're more than willing to do that, because this is one of those situations where it's good for the environment, it's good for the road, it's good for the people. It's good for the timber companies that are logging up there, because now this will allow them to haul more or less year-round without having to shut down during these big rains. And that was really the reason behind the Forest Service wanting to put in the money, is they have some logging contracts and harvest contracts coming up in the next few years. And with their stringent requirements on the environment, they were going to have to shut the contractor down basically throughout the entire winter, because they would not be able to haul on this road. And this will allow them to actually haul year-round, which gives them a better logging price. Contractor doesn't have to move in and move out, and so they'll get the logging done cheaper, which in turn increases the profit.
Questions of commissioners? Okay. Well, it sounds like, you and I have talked about this situation, and that road has been heavily used and some controversy because of the environmental issues for a long time.
It has been. As long as I've been with the county, it's always been an issue as far as maintenance because, like I said, it's heavily used and it's so close to the creek that you really had to be careful what you did. And then when they actually put in the research center, up there, the Hatchery Research Center, it changed the type of traffic that we had to maintain the road for. No longer were we maintaining it for, you know, log trucks and rock trucks. We're now maintaining it for everything from a log truck down to a Honda or something. And it makes it tough to do so. And so this should actually straighten that out. And in the long run, that's going to save us a considerable amount of money on maintenance costs.
I've had several meetings at the research center. I just came from it recently, and it's an internationally famous place. I mean, there's a lot of people from around the world going to that research center. It's not just a few people. It's and they come and stay for quite a while to learn how the hatchery system works. And I was amazed at the list of people from South America, Japan, China, you name it. There was literally almost everybody from the country in the world.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that we need to understand is this pavement's going to be 14 feet wide with paved turnouts. There isn't room there between the stream and the lake and everything else to actually widen this road out. But it's going to be your typical design would be a typical Forest Service road. Or any place that you have a corner, you have basically a turnout. We're hoping that you put in a nice, smooth, paved road that we don't run into speed issues. People tend to drive a little faster, but you know it's rural. There is the traffic to the hatchery, but it's not a heavily used road as far as passenger vehicles.
Okay. Any other questions, commissioners? We have a consensus to move this forward and have it come back next week's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll see that happens. Are you sticking around for the next item?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to talk about the petition to vacate Southeast Hemlock Court. Go ahead.
Well, I brought a poster to put up, but in all of this space, I wasn't really sure where we wanted to put it up.
We've got it in our
packet. Anyway, I'll get started. What we have here is in the what is called the Suga Acres subdivision, which is located basically across 101 from the Cutler City open space that you were talking about earlier. There is a small dead end public road, Hemlock Court, that divides the properties of Kenneth and Sarah Daniel. And at the west end of this dead-end road is a little small, what they call a spike strip, 1 foot wide by 50 foot long strip that was put in when the subdivision was platted to stop further development out that road. Now in this case, the property to the west is actually property of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and so and I don't know that they actually owned it at the time of the development, but they own it now, and there would not be any further development, plus it's actually wetland. But nonetheless, we have this 1 foot spike strip at the end of this public road. The desire is to vacate this public road and to have the Daniels actually purchase this 1 foot spike strip to consolidate the properties. The 1 foot spike strip is currently in the possession of Lincoln County Property Management. It was actually taken on by foreclosure quite some time ago, which is kind of a common thing where you have these small pieces that aren't usable for anything. People fail to pay their taxes and we end up with them. So part of the deal was if the vacation was granted that they would acquire this 1 foot spike strip and consolidate, creating one large tax lot. The reason for the vacation request is they're trying to sell the property, and I was told that the potential buyers were not able to actually acquire financing through Fannie Mae because they would not loan money on this divided property with this public road in the middle of it. It currently only serves the property. It does not go anywhere else. I actually, because
I was able to receive the signatures of all adjacent property owners, which would be Daniels on both sides with Lincoln County on the west end. We did not have to go through the typical process to pay service for 30 days to all the abutters, plus the 20-day posting requirements. So we kind of fast-tracked this thing. The reason we did that is because they actually have a sale pending. And it's, the sale is all basically dependent upon the vacation. It's been kind of a tough go because the owners of Daniels actually live in Texas. And so we've been trying to communicate back and forth between Oregon and Texas. Kenneth has made several trips up to Oregon to work on this. Couldn't make it tonight. I do believe that he has a representative here, that the realtor that's working with him on this.
Carol, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you please come up?
Sure.
Could you actually explain to the board more of the details in the financing part and the transition of property?
Well, actually, this is the third offer they've had, and the other two have been...
For the record, you're
here. Oh, Cheryl Aldridge, Taylor and Taylor Realty.
Well.
Thank you. Sorry. So they've had other offers before, and they get right down to the financing, and then the lenders won't finance. And so this is the third one, and...
Or,
you know, they won't finance without this vacating the road.
So, as a former banker, the objection is the fact that it's two lots with a big, vacant.
With a public decent road between it, and they own both.
Okay. Any other questions, commissioners?
And I guess, you know, basically, we're to decide whether or not it's in the public's best interest. Well, in this case, It serves nothing but the driveway to these two properties. And it doesn't have any potential of ever becoming any more than what it is.
Well, it seems to me it cleans up some ownership issues. If nothing else, I think the vacated piece of property now will be paid taxes.
Correct. That is correct.
All right.
And don't bother the public benefit.
Yeah. All right. I think we have a consensus to move forward and have an action item come back next week.
I'll burn order for that.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you. All right. We'll move on to reports. And Council Belmont has a couple of reports. One on the Commons master plan update, and then we'll talk about transient room tax. Go ahead.
And the master plan update is fairly quick. It's just some timelines I want to talk about with you. We have held the public meetings to present the consultants' latest recommendations to the public. Three have been held across the county, and we're scheduling a fourth one. I wanted to make sure that got announced publicly. That meeting will be held actually in conjunction with the Newport Urban Renewal Agency, which is the City Council Newport acting as their renewal agency. That will be held on July 30th. I don't know the time specifically yet. We're going to try and work that out and make sure that the time that starts, but just to say the date through July 30th. From there, we're going to move forward, in which the consultants will come back in September for a final meeting with our Master Plan Visioning Committee to review the draft master plan. They're going to have work done. That'll be sometime in September. That'll then be presented to the Board of Commissioners and the Fair Board. We're looking at a joint meeting to review the recommendations that come out of the Master Plan Visioning Committee. Then we'll have another short round of public meetings in October, and then a final master plan will be presented to you again at a joint meeting between the Fair Board and the Board of Commissioners sometime in October.
Any questions from commissioners? Okay, thank you, Wayne, on that. Transit room tax request for proposals.
Commissioners, this has been an item that's been going on for some time. As you may recall, our county code, in conformance with state law, requires that a portion of our transient room taxes be used for the promotion of tourism and a portion for economic development. And in the code, in the ordinance that was adopted by the voters, we had identified the Economic Development Alliance of Lincoln County to deal with the Economic Development Funds, and the Central Oregon Coast Association, or COCA, dealt with the tourism promotion activities. And this has been going on for many, many years. The funds were going to those two particular entities to accomplish those purposes required by the ordinance. COCA actually is no longer in existence. They went out of existence. They decided that they were not fulfilling what they needed to do. And so the code provides that you can designate or utilize the money for tourism promotion through other means. And so we were trying to come up with a way to try and deal with the funds, both that had been accumulated and were provided to COCA. There were some remaining funds, but also what do we do in the future? And so what we've recommended to come back to you is a two-phase process to deal with this. The first will deal with those funds, about $150,000 that were to go to COCA, and that have been accumulated and held in reserve by the county. And we're proposing that we do a transient room tax RFP, or request for proposals, to do the tourism promotion. And I've got in front of you today a draft of what that would do. And the idea would be that the we tried to come up with some objectives, specific objectives, to try and best utilize these particular funds. And so while the central purpose has to be the promotion of tourism in Lincoln County and the Central Coast, we also wanted to make sure that there was a variety of formats utilized for the presentation of information, so that we would encourage people to use traditional kinds of sources for doing this, or traditional activities to do it, but also less traditional kinds of things, social media, those kinds of activities there. We would encourage those. We also want to make sure that the agencies can provide visitor services and training to the tourism and lodging properties and proprietors. That's one of the purposes for tourism promotion. That's consistent with what we're seeing these funds utilized for by other entities up and down the Oregon coast. They're going to provide support for the local tourism industry. One of the key factors we wanted to include in this, which really wasn't available before, is to have available or to develop accountability measures and deliverables. And specifically, you know, once you receive the money with a proposed set of activities you would engage in, how do we actually measure what you've accomplished with that? That's one of the things that has not been part of our program in the past when we went to COCA. But we are going to ask that of anybody who receives this particular money. And then obviously the money would be available to provide the staffing and support services to accomplish those particular objectives. So we've put together the kind of standard request for proposals, and what I need to do today is talk to you about, do you have any questions about that particular RFP process? Can we move forward with it? And then I'd like to gauge a little bit of a timeline for doing this. Normally, for request for proposals like of this type, we would put it out somewhere between 30 and 45 days. We have had interest expressed. This is for those who are engaged in these kinds of activities. They're aware that these funds would be made available. And so I know that there's been some work that's been done already to try and address these particular issues. So I think that turnaround time, especially if we did 45 days, would be sufficient for people to put together the proposals for you to review. And I do want to stress again, this is for the pot of money that was we kept in reserve that was not utilized by COCA. On an ongoing basis, what we're going to propose is that we do a separate RFP for phase two. And I think we need to have some further discussions with you about what you'd like that to look like. That could be something similar to this, in which we either select one or more entities to do certain projects for us. You could do something very similar to what you do with economic development funds with that you receive in other things, and that is you take specific grant proposals on a year-to-year basis and allocate funds on smaller amounts, let's say, you know, on a year-to-year basis. I think you've got some opportunities to explore other ways of delivering these particular funds out into the community than what we've done traditionally. So I want to have that conversation a little bit later. We want to move forward with phase one now, if we can.
Okay, so just to clarify, I'm comfortable with a proposal as to requesting RFPs for the pool of money that's accumulated since COCA ceased operations. And I might add that, as you've indicated, Councillor, the money that was being given to COCA, there really was no need or no requirement for accountability. And as an ex officio member of that board, I started to ask some questions about how was the money being used and how was it being used in a way that differentiated the unincorporated areas from other materials that were available. And I guess the end result was that the board decided on their own to dissolve. And so that's how we now have the situation where these monies have been accumulating. So that's a little bit of background. And as I said, I'm comfortable with the first RFP. Commissioner Townsend?
So we can go back and repeat the time frame for me.
Well, what we do is pick a date that we do the issuance of the RFP and do appropriate notices as required by law. And then what we would suggest is that we have the proposals submitted back to us within 45 days. And then there'd be a process of review of those proposals, recommendations to the board. And then you would select one or more. And we actually are doing this in a way that you can select more than one proposal if you so desire. You don't have to put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak.
Okay, I know there have been several people waiting a long time to get this.
To do this.
So, okay, 45 days is adequate if they come now.
I'm comfortable with 45 days, Commissioner Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm having a little trouble in seeing the logic of separating the pot of money that's been accumulating in the, about a year and a half since COCA shut down from the ongoing funding source. Because let's say, I don't know, just hypothetically, one of our local chambers of commerce says, we want to take on promotion of lodging properties and tourism in the unincorporated areas, but say they get some or all of that $150,000 pot, they will hire a person maybe to manage that. Why should they take that on with no reasonable expectation that that will be an ongoing funding source? I guess, you know, that's what I'm struggling with.
Well, I think it's nothing precludes them from making an application for the phase two money.
So would we put both of these out together?
No,
or?
I think the idea was we wanted to see what we would get back on phase one as the kinds of, you know, what kind of approaches are people going to take? Who's out there that wants to do this kind of stuff? And in some ways, you can almost look at this as being the pilot for the next phase. This will get, you know, somebody going on this, and we'll see how effective they are, especially with those accountability measures. You know, you're going to have an idea of whether or not they can do it. So in terms of phase two, we can talk about, we will continue to accumulate that money. We can either go out, you know, very soon, if you want to do it in phase two soon, or we can wait until we see some of the results coming out of phase one and then decide to go forward with phase two. And I think, again, part of the conversation that we need to have, you need to give us some direction, is do you want to put this all out as an all or nothing kind of thing, or do you want to reserve a portion of it for maybe, you know, specific kinds of projects like you do for economic development, and then maybe the rest of it's out there for ongoing kinds of efforts. So I think we need to have more discussion on this longer term way of doing it, but this is getting the money that's been reserved out, and at least you'll get to see some results from that and see what happens.
Okay. I'm ready to go forward.
So I think we have a consensus to move
forward. The consensus is to move it forward, and it's 45 days, okay? Yep. If that's the consensus, then I will get this out, and we'll get some proposals back and get back.
And then we'll have further discussions on the ongoing revenue stream in the future. Okay? Anything else, Council Belmont?
That's it.
All right, move on to commissioner reports. Commissioner.
I'll pass.
Me too.
All right, I'm going to take a moment to talk about the announcement yesterday of the reorganization of our Health and Human Services Department. This year has been a challenging year. We've seen lots of changes. Of course, in January, we terminated the director of the Health and Human Services Department. We appointed Rebecca Austin as the interim director, and we were proceeding on a plan to hire a director of the Health and Human Services Department. But while we were in that process, the two Rebeccas, Austin and McLee Wilson, came forward with a plan that talked about a co-directorship, if you will, of the Health and Human Services Department that would basically divide the department into two divisions or two areas, one of which would be public health and administration, which is really the expertise of Rebecca Austin. She's got extensive experience and degrees in management and leadership. And so this would take advantage of her talents in that area. And then the other half of the Health and Human Services Department would become the health center, if you will, which is the federally qualified health center. And Rebecca McBee Wilson would manage that. She has been the director of that. But rather than have the one position be subordinate to the other, they're both, we've announced that they're both directors. They are peers, they'll work together. And the beauty of that is that with the federally qualified health center, Rebecca McBee Wilson really is also accountable to the health council in conjunction with the Board of Commissioners, so that clarifies that responsibility. And then Rebecca Austin would report to the board liaison, which would continue to be myself, but ultimately to the Board of Commissioners. The other good news is that we will not be hiring a director of Health and Human Services, so the that position will be unfilled, which frees up about $250,000, $250,000 in salary and benefit dollars that will be available to support services. In talking with the Rebeccas about how that money will be used, there's a strong focus now on, first of all, let's identify the needs of the county, and then let's identify how we can best meet those needs. So that's a process that's being started, and look forward to seeing additional services being developed. The last comment I'll make is I've heard many comments, frustrations, I think we all have, about the inability to get in and see a clinician when
at
the behavioral health department. Thank you. And it was interesting. Carolyn Fry has been appointed to head up that department. Barbara Terrell has announced she'll be retiring in October. And at the meeting I attended yesterday, Carolyn said, well, I've already done away with the orientation process. And I said, orientation process? And yeah, apparently there was an orientation process that a client had to go through before they could see a clinician. So that's gone. So again, I think there have been some significant improvements, will continue to be improvements as we identify the needs and do a better job of addressing the needs of the citizens, particularly in the behavioral health area. So, wanted to make that announcement that was made public late yesterday. So I have no other reports. We'll move on to constituent input. This is an opportunity for constituents to address any issue of their interest. And we ask you to limit your comments to no more than 5 minutes. And who wants to go first? Come on down, Carl. Introduce yourself for the record, please.
My name is Carla Perry. I live in Newport. And 2 weeks ago, Penelope Kesmerick, representing Common Sense Lincoln County, addressed the Board of Commissioners. And she requested that you consider a referral to the ballot, November 2018, to bring the issue of the Commons development to a vote of the people. And she asked that she can't be here tonight, so I'm here in her stead. And she had asked that an answer be received in 1 week. Last week was the 4th of July, so there was no meeting. So I'm here today, and I'm just wondering if you have reached a decision.
No, we have not.
Are you considering it?
Yes.
And do you know when you might have an answer?
I won't be prepared to make a decision, and I'm speaking for myself, until I see the master plan, because then I'll know what we're actually asking to be considered.
So that would be October?
Under the present timeline, yes.
Very interesting. Okay. I'd like to encourage you, though, to refer it at that time, then, because if it is a good idea and you think that there is a mandate from the people to go ahead with that, it would be easy to test that and move ahead and you wouldn't have any more opposition. And do you have any questions for me while I'm here? I'd be glad to answer anything.
I don't. No.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Next meeting of the Board of Commissioners will be on Wednesday, July 18th. We'll be back in our usual location, which is the County Courthouse, Room 108. We'll be meeting at 9:30 a.m. And again, that's on Wednesday, July 18th. We're adjourned.